If you don't know me, my name is Victor Prado. I'm the crazy one of the pastoral care team. You might have noticed I'm wearing Yeezys. Hey, tag me, preachers with sneakers. I'm trying to get on there. I'm not joking. Oh, you want to pose? I'll pose. All right. You got it? All right, cool. I'm talking. These Yeezys are special to me because along the course of my life, God has always fulfilled the dreams of my heart. And I had a dream for my 30th birthday. I always wanted a pair of Yeezys, but they're always super expensive, and you have to always catch like this drawing. There are always a lot of people who buy them to resell them. I'm like, man, I'm not going to pay more than retail for it. It's already expensive retail. But I was like, Jesus, I just want one pair of sneakers, please. And I was like, Lord, I like to negotiate with Jesus, you know, because that's how it works. I go, Jesus, you know, it's December, my birthday. You know when my birthday is. You were there. It's coming up. You know, I would really appreciate a pair of Yeezys. But it's up to you, whatever you want to do. But, you know, it's just my birthday, whatever. It's up to you. But then I made this promise in my heart, and God always hears the promises that I make in my heart. I said, Lord, listen, I'm not going to kill myself trying to get a pair of Yeezys. I'm not going to kill myself. I'm not going to pay more than I should. This is what I'm going to do, God. If you want me to have the pair of Yeezys, they're going to appear on my 30th birthday. I don't want any hand in it. But if they appear in this supernatural way that I'm asking, then I'll know that you are calling me to something bigger. So comes my 30th birthday. I wake up, boom, my Yeezys are there, wrapped in a box. Can I get an amen, church? Nothing is impossible with Jesus, even if you want Yeezys. And it's so funny how you can leave these dreams on your heart, and sometimes it seems like they take a lifetime to fulfill. But what I've learned in this season of this within the last year, I would say in the valley, but I could say with confidence, I've been in the desert for maybe 3 or 4 years, but the last year I was in the valley. And what I can say with confidence is that if you are exactly where you need to be, the dreams of your heart are automatically fulfilled. I'll give you another example. I have a lot of silly dreams, as you could tell, my Yeezys. I literally prayed for sneakers. But they came true, so don't hate. So I have a lot of these like funny, silly dreams, but they're important dreams to me. I'm an only child. I'm a big kid at heart. I'm 31 now. Crazy, right? I know I don't look it. Thanks. Appreciate that, Mike. I know you didn't say anything, but I felt it. Yo, Mike was playing the drums. Did you guys see that? That was a round of applause for Mike. That was awesome. I was like, I saw Jiogo sitting, and then I was like, I know Yvonne's not playing. I just kept like going down the list, and I was like, who's left? And then I had to lean over, and I was like, it's Mike. Yeah, it was good. I liked it. And I can remember like my first silly dream that I've had in my heart, but God takes my dreams so seriously. He takes your dreams so seriously. And I remember I was 7 years old, and we were going down to the Conjo Brun in Florida. But before my... I should explain what Conjo Brun is because that's kind of crazy. So Conjo Brun is like this Brazilian Baptist convention where all the Brazilian Baptist churches of the United States meet for like a conference. And when I was 7, we drove down to Florida, and then we also like took advantage and made it like a Disney trip. So it's like the first time going to Disney, you know, when you're a kid, like super hype. Like nothing is more hype than going to Disney. But I had this mission on my heart that I didn't tell anyone. I had my autograph book ready to go, and I said, Lord, I need to get the signature of all 4 Ninja Turtles. This is my only mission. This is the only reason why I'm coming. And if you know me, you know that's exactly true. I didn't want to go on any ride. I didn't care about anything. All I wanted was the autograph of the Ninja Turtles. That's all I wanted. And I'm someone who, once I have one mission, one purpose, like nothing can distract me. Nothing can stop me from fulfilling that task. So we get there to Disneyland, and I see these other guys. You know, I see Fievel. It's an old cartoon. You guys probably don't know, millennials. There's Fievel Goes West. But anyway, I saw Fievel there. You know, you see Mickey. And you're like, all right, whatever. I'll skip a page. You're not signing my book. I don't need you to sign my book. And eventually, I find the turtles. I find them. But they were scattered. I only found one of them. And I remember, I know when you're a kid, like, you know there's someone in a costume. Like, I was 7. You know there's someone. But, like, for a second, you forget. And I was like, Leo, whew, all right, you're going to sign this page, but where are the rest? And I was like, I need you to help me. This is an emergency because I have a mission to complete. And I actually do have a picture. I forgot to send it to Laura to put it up, but I have a picture with me and Donatello right after he signed my book. And I had the book, and I was like, yeah. Yes. Like, mission complete. And ever since then, I can remember God fulfilling these dreams in my heart. Like, God wanted me to be there to have fun, so he fulfilled the dreams of my heart. I was right where I was supposed to be at the right time. When I was in Florida about a month ago for Andrew's wedding, Andrew's a childhood friend of mine, and he got married. I also had another silly dream come true. I went to Chick-fil-A, you know, the Church of Jesus Christ. This is their other name. And I literally consider Chick-fil-A a church. Like, the manager's a pastor. There's angels working. They're so nice. Don't even compare Chick-fil-A service with anyone else. Don't even try yourself. So I'm like, Lord, these people are so nice all the time that I want to serve them somehow. That was on my heart, and my dream came true, and I'm about to tell you how I did it. So it was me, Joel, and my mom. No, it was just me and Joel. And we're getting to Chick-fil-A, and it was like 30 minutes before closing, so I guess they had some people like leaving because, you know, they're closing out, they're cleaning up. So I get there and I open the door and I see this guy coming through. So I'm like, I'm gonna hold the door open for him. The second he comes through out the door, I see it's a Chick-fil-A employee. And then he goes, thanks, bro. And then time stopped. And I looked at him and I said, my pleasure. And then I walked in and the Avengers theme played right behind me. Da-da-da-da. It was amazing. It was amazing. I came in and I was like, I served the Chick-fil-A employee. Me. It was me. My pleasure. That was a quote. I said it. Checkmate, Chick-fil-A. What's your next move? It's 1-1 now. So everywhere I go, God fulfills these dreams in my heart. He fulfills these dreams in my heart. And what I've noticed is that when God calls you for a specific direction, if you're obedient, it can seem like your life is crumbling around you. But God reminds you by fulfilling these dreams on your heart that you're on the right path. Let's put up the introduction. I want to read it together. In this world, there are questions that beget other questions. For example, what is my self-worth? Why was I born? What is the purpose of my life on this earth? Why do I feel so empty? Why do I feel hopeless? Why? We are all born into existence to complete a specific mission that, like our fingerprints, is unique and can never be replicated or copied. As we are made in God's image, we are truly one of a kind. There will never be another you in existence. No one has been born before you or after you that can do what only you can do. God has poured out a measure of faith to all men, Romans 12:3, which represent the gold God has placed in our life. Yet we spend our entire life replicating the gold of others and mimicking the success of those before us. Discovering our gold and mining it out should be our highest priority in life as it demands great cost and burden. That's a reference for when Jesus said to take up your own cross. But once complete, we can fulfill the purpose of our birth and change this world for generations to come. This is the real cost to be the real you. You guys didn't like it, right? Like that, right? Yeah. I remember when God told me, I did the School of the Prophets in 2015, and I know I'm on the more the crazier scale, but when you go to a place where there's only crazy people, you realize how normal you are very quick. So I'm getting there. I'm like, yeah, I'm the crazy guy from my church. Who are you? And then it's just the crazy guy of everyone's church in one place. And then you get there and there's people like doing like crazy dances, like flags. There's, and you're like, all right, that's cool. And then just randomly people come up to you like, you know, I just see this, the word of healing above you. God's going to use you and you're going to save nations. All right, have a nice lunch. And then they leave. And then you're just standing there like, I was just literally looking for my seat. And then you're just there like, that's a lot of responsibility. And like, all right. And then you just like try to reset your mind and you try to get to your seat and someone else comes and gives you something else. And I remember this one lady just came up to me. She's like, you know, I see God's given you a gift of writing. But I also see that you can't sit still for more than 5 minutes. So God's willing to wait for you to write a book, but he expects it to you like when you're older and you can sit for more than 5 minutes. And I was like, all right, I'll take that one. That makes sense. I'll take that one. That makes sense. You guys having fun? I'm having fun. I'm having fun. When this separation process started about July of last year, the actual week of a live camp of last year. So by that Friday, happened that Wednesday, that conversation. Friday, I was at a live camp. And this entire process, within the last year and a little bit, I haven't been working. I went back to school full time. I'm in my last semester. Thank you, Jesus. 3 classes to go. Almost there. And in this entire process, kind of going through 2 life, you know, crises at the same time, as we learn in EHS, you know, I got let go from my previous employer in late 2017. And then about 6 months later, I got hit with this separation stuff. And I just remember feeling like hopeless. And I just remember feeling like, Lord, but like I did everything right. Like, I don't understand. I know you tested me in the workplace, and I know I completed my test. I know I succeeded in the task that you had before me. I suffered a severe persecution at my job. From one day to the next, I was the golden boy, and then I became the target. And I survived. I didn't give in. I survived about 2 years of persecution, of just being humiliated in front of everyone, being humiliated one-on-one. And I didn't give in. I had opportunities for other jobs, for higher salaries. I had opportunities to move to other positions within the company. And I every time I asked God, I was like, God, what do you want me to do? And he would stay silent. A lot of times we think that when God doesn't respond, it's a no. But we forget that when it's time to take a test, if you remember in high school or college, that when you are taking the test, the professor is quiet. The time for teaching is over. The time for you to be tested has started. So a lot of times, we're in this preparation phase to study or for a test. But when we ask God for help during the test, guys, ask Jackie, she's a teacher. The teacher's not going to help you during a test. So a lot of times we need to remember that God's silence isn't a no. You're just probably being tested. So I would ask him, God, what do you want me to do? Where do you want me to go? And he would just stay silent. And I knew it was a test. So I stayed there, fulfilled my task, got beaten every single day, just get to my car, cry, reset the day, do it all over again. And I stayed there until eventually they let me go. But for the first time in like 2 years through that persecution, the day that I woke up with the most joy and peace and I was happy was the exact day that they let me go. And God was telling me, my son, it might seem like you've lost in the world, but I can promise you in the supernatural, you are victorious. And 6 months later, I got hit with the separation. So my goal was, you know, I'm going to do everything I can in the natural and supernatural. And that's what I did. Can you put up the park image, please? I reached out to those that you kind of saw here on stage and a couple of intercessors in Brazil as well. And we started this 21-day fast around that time. This is a park. This is actually, it's like a middle school right behind my house. I would just walk there. It's like a 10-minute walk. And I had made this promise with God I would just pray for 1 hour a day just regarding with the situation. And it's in this park that my character was formed. It was in this park that my prayer life was made stronger. It was in this park that hope and peace would be poured out on me daily. It was in this random park. A lot of times we go searching for conferences, we go searching for specific preachers, when the park behind our house is where God's waiting to speak to us. And don't get it wrong, I know every single church in the tri-state area by heart. I love going to church. I love it. Like, a lot. Like, you like going, but I love going. It's different. Right? I love church. I love it. But it was here that God positioned my heart to be ready to receive the peace of the Holy Spirit. It was here that I would just question God, and I would just speak in my prayer language, and I would just cry out, and there would be people there, and I'm just there walking like this, crying, speaking in tongues, crying like this. And sometimes, you know, when you get like mad hype, you're like mad, you start walking even faster, and I was like, you have that crazy face, and you're like, you don't even blink, you don't turn your head, and you just turn it like this. Like, Lord, bless all the people that saw me there, because I realized that after a while, there were less and less people around that time. Which, like, only at the end of the month, I'm like, man, there used to be so many people here. And now there's, like, only one or two, and they're, like, new faces. So I thought that, they caught the pattern. But God bless them. Hey, they were getting blessed somehow, I believe it. But it's in simple places that God prepares you for your destiny. It's in simple places that God will build the foundation of your purpose. Right after this, I went to Brazil for my cousin's wedding. She lives in Goiânia. And Goiânia is cool. It's lit, you know, Pamonha and stuff. Yeah, it's Brazil. And I always love going to Brazil. I always feel very welcome there. It feels like another home to me, which is interesting because the first time I ever went to Brazil, I was 21 years old after I gave my parents papers. You're welcome, Mom and Dad. They're legal now, FBI. Can you hear me? Yeah. My dad used to have a joke that he wasn't illegal. He was just visiting for like 25 years. It's like, it's a lot of states to visit, you know. They're like, you need a lot of time. So I'm always so blessed when I get to Brazil. Like, it's from the moment that I step into the airport at JFK here to the moment that I'm in the airport coming back. God is always speaking to me. He always sends random people to just come up to me, and I always have these random God encounters. And when I was in Brazil, after the wedding, I went to São Paulo. I was at my friend's house around Campinas, which is like the biggest, you know, city outside of the capital. And I'm at his house, and there was a prayer vigil at his sister's house. So we went. And at this time, only those core people knew what was going on, the ones that were on stage. I went to this prayer vigil, and we were just praying, and it was really like good, like, you know, I opened up my heart, that the stuff that was going on. And then the pastor that was there, the family friend, he did a test with the Lord. He said, Lord, I have this word in my heart for this person, and that person was me. But I need a confirmation that this word is for him, because this word is going to change his life once I say it, and I want to be sure. So all of a sudden, I'm praying, right? I'm just kind of listening. Nothing out of the ordinary. And my feet get really hot. Well, like, I don't know why. My feet just feel like they're on fire. So I just take off my sneakers, take off my socks, and just let them, you know, breathe a little bit. And then all of a sudden, like, this guy turns off the light in the room. And I'm like, oops, like, wasn't I supposed to take off my sneakers? I didn't mean to. Like, it was by accident. And then he stopped the prayer thing and he said, that was the sign I was looking for. I said, God, if this word is true for him, have him take off his sneakers right now. God does these things always with me, these little crazy things. So get used to it, all right? There's a lot of them coming up in this story. So he comes up to me and he says, you know, I see God is calling you to the nations and I see he's calling you to these things. And I just want to pray for you. And then he prayed for me. And then he says, God is offering you your purpose right now. Do you accept it? And this purpose is specifically this one thing. That God has placed certain nations into the palm of my hand and that he's sending me to these nations to bring revival to those nations. One of those nations is Brazil. So if you've been following my hashtag June 2nd ad campaign, and I remember I even had a question once and someone was like, oh, when are you moving to Brazil? And I was like, man, God just calling out the prophets, you know, just letting everyone know my business. So I want to make this very clear. Brazil is on the nations that God is sending me to. One day I will be there. But for now, me too, amen. But for now, God made it very clear to me to start this ministry that I'm going to start and announce in 10 seconds. To show fruit in my home church first. That the U.S., the country that I was born in, is also one of the nations on the list. So right now, I just want to prophetically declare that the purpose of my birth and announce my ministry publicly for the first time at my home church at 11:41, June 2nd, my ministry of miracles, signs, and wonders. I've been operating in the prophetic. I've been operating in words of knowledge and giving prophetic words. But after discussing with my pastor and revealing my purpose to him that was revealed in this prayer moment that I just had, that I just shared with you guys, I received this scepter and I saw it in the spirit. And this pastor, he said, the Lord is offering you your purpose. Do you accept it? Anytime when we're encountered with God face to face regarding our purpose, we always have the free will to say yes or to say no. I knew the weight of that scepter. It was the same rod or scepter as Moses. And I knew that God was calling me to something similar to that. He had me born in a different country. He hid me in the palace for 30 years to go serve my people back in Brazil and all the other nations around the world. I saw this rod in the spirit, and I saw the weight behind it. And I like this pastor a lot. He most prophet people, prophetic people, I realize are very no filter, you know, New York City style. And he goes, before you accept it, think about it. Because the weight and responsibility of nations is going to be upon your shoulders from one day to the next. You're going to get beat up a lot. You're going to be made fun of a lot. So think twice. And I remember I sat there and I was like, I've defeated so many giants by now. This is just another giant on my list. And in the spirit, I took that scepter, that rod, and I said, Lord, I receive it. Lord, I receive it. I receive the purpose of my birth. I receive it, Lord. A week later, I went to this spiritual retreat. It's called Moriá in São Paulo, Brazil. God supernaturally opened up the doors for me to go there, and I went. And I said, Lord, I'm not just fighting for my marriage here, but I'm fighting for myself. I'm fighting for this new purpose that you've given me. And during this conference of deliverance and spiritual healing, things like that, you have this one-on-one time that you get, you speak to like a counselor, and it's a very prophetic, praying kind of one-on-one encounter. And when I went, I met with the leader of the spiritual retreat, and she was also interceding for me during this whole process. And it was the last day of the 21-day fast, so we surrendered the fast together, and then she started praying, And then she opened up the word and she says that the Lord was calling me like Moses. And essentially she was just confirming everything that the pastor had said the week before, which was comforting because that was like a literal complete like stranger. Like I had no idea who that guy was. But now I knew someone who had intimacy with. I knew who she was. And she confirmed the same exact thing. And she offered me the same rod again. And I always thought that was interesting. I was like, God, I believed it the first time, but hey, if you want me to take it again twice, I'll take it again twice. Like, I'm all about it. So I took it, that same rod in the spirit, and I said, Jesus, I accept the purpose of my birth no matter the cost. Because I've come this far, and I haven't sold out. And I'm the type of person that I would prefer to die, literally die, not like white girl, literally I'm dead kind of die. I'm talking about actually die. Sorry, Steph. I look right at you when I said that. I'm sorry. I was like, you know, white girl. I was like, even though her Portuguese is like way better than mine, and she's like a hidden Brazilian. But sorry about that. I didn't mean to be racist with my eyes. But I prefer to die than to give up on my principles. I prefer to die than to reject the name of Jesus. I prefer to die than to sell out on my calling. I prefer to die than to not complete the task of my purpose. That's who I am. I never give up and I never give in, and I'd rather die than to give up. That's the way that God built me. He built me with this persistence, the stubbornness to never quit no matter the cost. This last year has been me carrying my own cross with the separation. I've had thoughts of suicide. I've had thoughts of depression. I've had moments of panic. But the moments that you would see me at church, those who didn't know, I was surrounded by the supernatural peace. And the supernatural peace came to me while reading a book that Pastor Francisco actually gave me in English. And in this book, the whole book is essentially like how to win her back. And I'm like, Pastor, this isn't, the roles are reversed here. But out of obedience, I'm going to read this book. And there was one chapter, and the chapter was, She Might Not Come Back. That was the title of the chapter. So I'm like, here we go. So I start reading this book, start reading this chapter, and once I completed a certain phrase, I remember it felt like the floodgates of heaven fell upon me, and my life was never the same again. I remember very clearly because it said, no matter what you do, there are three people the day that you made your vows, right? It's the groom, the bride, and then there's God. And God told me clearly, son, you are doing your part. I'm doing my part. But neither of us can force the other to do her part. So I said, Lord, I understand. Although God has the ability to manipulate free will, he does not. Because it's in our free will, it's in our free ability to choose, to love, that we honor God, that we express who we are in his image. Love is a choice, it's not a feeling. When you open your mouth and confess with your tongue who Jesus is, you didn't feel it. You made a choice to say it. And anyone who's been married here or is married knows what I'm talking about. You need to wake up daily and decide to love. You know what's the best part? While I'm in this separation process, I think I prayed for 3 or 4 couples in the middle of their separation. And I said, God, I know you've thrown me in the furnace. I know you're testing my faith. But I also believe in the word that you've promised over me. And that word is, my son, I've given you victory. This is the moment that I received the rod spiritually about my purpose. He said, my son, I promise victory over your life. I promise a double portion for everything that you do. And that's why I had to receive 2 rods. He promised me a double portion. And I have no problem calling him out because I know his word is going to come to pass. But he told me, my son, victory is guaranteed for you now. Now I want to know what kind of faith you have when God tells you that victory is guaranteed in the middle of a separation. Because I can tell you it didn't feel like it. But I woke up daily and I made a choice. I said, today I'm going to live my life like I already received my victory. And that's what I have been doing ever since. The supernatural peace that you've seen over me is because of that decision I made. I'm taking it in credit for something that has yet to come, and I'm calling it into existence into today. Do I have moments of extreme loneliness? Yes, I do. It has not been easy. But one thing that I can say with confidence is every single day I see God's hand working in a way that I have never seen it before. In the last 7 months, 7 to 8 months, I've had more supernatural encounters with God than the last 7 years combined. Because I was in the right place at the right time. I knew God was calling me to this purpose, and God knew her heart. And he knows a divided house will not last. He allowed this to happen before it happened and exploded my ministry down the line. Now, during this process, I had lost my dream. You can put the picture up with the tree, Laura. It's a little hard to see with the lights, but you get it, it's a tree. But only the OGs will realize where this tree is. Yesterday, we watched the Champions League final at Hazina's new apartment. Yeah. Yes, my team Liverpool won. It was amazing. But when I put the GPS to go back home, it put me to go through the side streets, Parson, Hillside, whatever. I was just following the GPS. And I make a right on this street, and I realize this street looks very familiar to me. And I'm pulling up this road, and then I see on the right side this tree. And I'm looking at this parking lot, and I realize that this is where the Jamaica church used to be. And I stopped, and of course there was one parking space in front waiting for me. Stopped my car. I got out, and I just lean against these bars, and I remember as a kid playing on this tree. Me, Lucas, Jogo, we would run around this tree. We've broken things on this tree. We've sweat blood and tears in this tree. Like, this tree is our childhood. And I was just trying to think, like, they paved and they took everything out. Like, why did they just leave a random tree in a parking lot? And I was surprised that the tree is, like, still living and going. Like, you know, that's the only vegetation in Jamaica. Like, this is it. This is Jamaica Gardens right here. You know what I mean? And I remember I just put my hands on these rails, and I just started crying because I knew God took me back to this place. He said, my son, do not despise humble beginnings. He brought me back to the place where my parents met. My parents literally met at the Jamaica church. They didn't know each other from Brazil. They met here. My mom comes from an Assembleia family. Shay. My dad comes from a Catholic family. My dad converted at this church. He converted at a small group at Winnie's house, if you remember Winnie. My dad literally converted over a plate of arroz, feijão, and mayonnaise. That's a true story. Do not despise humble beginnings. I had a lot on my heart, but God sent me for this specific thing, that God will take you through a process. If you're willing to stay in the process, your dreams will automatically come true. Supernatural peace will be released upon you. And it's funny because we always have that saying that, like, when you give your life to Christ, it seems like your life gets 100 times worse, like overnight. It's like, man, why would I want to join this thing? It's like my life gets messed up a day later. But we got to realize that I've come to the conclusion that as I accepted the purpose of my birth and I accepted this whole process, that there's really only two sides of the coin. You're either in preparation for your purpose or you're living your purpose out. A majority of the church is always in the preparation phase. Maybe 1% lives out the true purpose of their life. What God put in my heart here today is the activation and the release of your purpose. So I ask that you raise your faith with me, church. Amen? You can put up Matthew 20. We're going to read it together. Greg, you can come up wherever you are. Oh, there you are. Let's read this together. It's the parable of the workers in the vineyard. For the kingdom of heaven is like a landowner. Well, it's actually a really long text. I'll just read it to you. Because we're not going to make it, guys. You know, someone's going to be behind. You know how it works. It'll just be faster. I'm running out of time. For the kingdom of heaven is like a landowner who went out early in the morning to hire workers for his vineyard. He agrees to pay them a denarius for one day and sent them into his vineyard. About 9 in the morning, he went out and saw others standing in the marketplace doing nothing. Repeat after me, doing nothing. He told them, see, you guys were delayed right after repeating me. So it was definitely would not work out. He told them, you also go and work in my vineyard, and I will pay you whatever is right. So they went. He went out again about noon and about 3 in the afternoon and did the same thing. About 5 in the afternoon, he went out and found still others standing around. He asked them, why have you been standing here all day doing nothing? Repeat after me, doing nothing. Because no one hired us, they answered. He said to them, you also go and work in my vineyard. When evening came, the owner of the vineyard said to his foreman, call the workers and pay their wages, beginning with the last ones hired and going on to the first. The workers who were hired about 5 in the afternoon came and each received a denarius. So when those came who were hired first, they expected to receive more. But each one of them also received a denarius. When they received it, they began to grumble against the landowner. These who were hired last worked only 1 hour, they said. And you have made them equal to us who have borne the burden of the work and the heat of the day. But he answered one of them, I am not being unfair to you, friend. Didn't you agree to work for a denarius? Take your pay and go. I want to give you the one who was hired the last the same as I gave you. Don't I have the right to do what I want with my own money? Or are you envious because I am generous? So the last will be first and the first will be last. In other words, there were 3 time zones. He went to go hire workers in the morning, in the afternoon, and right at closing time. Now, I know you're thinking like, man, to beat the system, you're like, I would like to be that 5 p.m. guy, right? Do like an hour of work and we're out of here. Get paid the same, right? But there, as reading into this message, and actually the theme of this fell into my heart when Eric preached this word a couple of months back. I said, Lord, that's so unfair. There has to be something hidden here. And he said, son, look at those words, doing nothing. Although it seemed like the workers who came in the afternoon and later afternoon seemed like they beat the system because they worked less and got the same pay, they were in the marketplace doing nothing. There are areas in our life that when we feel like we are doing nothing, we invite depression into our lives. We invite the weight of negativity. We invite this weight of why was I born? Why is this happening to me? Why was the purpose of my birth? Like, why? So the workers that were hired in the morning, they had something that those other workers didn't have. They had purpose. Although, what does it say? They had the heavy burden and worked through the heat of the day, they had purpose. Church, what I believe is that God is calling this 5 p.m. people in this place today. It might seem like you're coming in just before closing time, but your purpose will be revealed to you today. While praying for you guys, I saw a stone, the same stone on Jesus' grave, and I saw it being rolled away. So I prophetically declare right now a resurrection power over your purpose. I prophesy right now new life over your dreams. That although you've been feeling like you've been working through the heat of the day and you're getting paid the same, it's time to honor God with your purpose. I want everyone to stand. I'm a type of person that I don't have any motivation at all unless I have a purpose to fulfill. And I know there's a lot of you who are like me. Some people are natural go-getters and they fill up their time with doing things because they need to feel accomplished. They need to feel the purpose of why they're living. But church, you've come here today searching for the purpose of your birth. And I'm telling you that it's waiting for you here today. If you want to know your purpose, if you're searching for the reason of your birth, I want you to come down here and I want to pray for you. When Gideon had 33,000 soldiers, God just kept cutting it down, until there was only 300 left. Because God, in God's hands, those who have purpose are mightier than 30,000. You lived a life of pain, of suffering. Many of you have left your home countries to be in this country. You used to have purpose in Brazil. You have a doctorate's degree. You have a lawyer's degree. But God sent you to this place and your life started over. And you said, God, what is my purpose? But right now, we're going to turn your pain to propel you into your future. Yes. Laura, I want you to put the third image up. The hand image. Oh, Laura's here. I'm sorry. It's going to come up in a sec. Is Elena here? Elena, Flavia's daughter? No? I had Elena draw this for me. I have my own clothing line. I'd like to do prophetic images on shirts. So I had her draw this for me after I found out she was an amazing painter. That's actually on a canvas. But I never explained to her why the things that I did. I just said, just do it this way and let me know when you're done. In this process, what the enemy used to destroy me, to put out my fire, Jesus will turn it around into oil and propel me into my destiny. And right now, together, we're going to do the same. We're going to surrender our pain. From a lifetime of the enemy trying to destroy us. But right now, in Jesus' name, I prophetically declare the miracle working hands of Jesus. And everything that was designed and planned to destroy you will propel you into your destiny, will ignite the fire back into your dreams. Lord, I declare that every night of tears, of crying at your feet, Jesus, right now we exchange those tears for peace. Just like you taught me, Lord. I have to go to heaven daily and exchange my tears for peace. Lord, we surrender our pain, and in exchange, we get joy. Lord Jesus, we surrender it all to you now, Lord. Your pain will propel you into your destiny. Your pain will become the fire to ignite your dreams. That everything that you have gone through wasn't an accident. Devil, you tried to get us, but you got played because you just launched us into our destiny. I know you know where I live. I was thrown into the furnace, but right now I publicly declare that together with me and my church family, we walk out of this furnace made new, with our faith defined, with our gold defined, with our dreams defined. Right now, Father, I release, Lord, the purposes and destinies that you've prepared them for. I activate their callings. I activate their purposes now in Jesus' name. Holy Spirit, I ask for supernatural encounters, for dreams, for miracles, signs, and wonders. Propel them, Lord, into their destinies. Kisla, I just see you transforming the mental state of children. God's giving you a heart for children. And the church, we don't talk about mental stability enough, mental intelligence. But see, God's calling you to fight with children who have depression, children who are under attack of mental disorders. So in Jesus' name, I release and prophesy your purpose here in this place now. We call it forth, Lord. And in Jesus' name, I release the financial provision she's going to need. The team that she's going to need. I equip her now with the gift of discernment, Lord. That she can discern the spirits on these children. That she can discern these disorders on these children. I equip and I activate it now here on earth as it's already done in heaven. I anoint your eyes with the seer gifting that you will see the children and their disabilities. You will see children pretending like everything's okay, but your eyes will reveal to you the real issue. I activate it and I release it and I declare it done here on earth as it's already done in heaven. So I just see you praying for a generation and interceding for children and the upcoming generation. Right now, I equip you with the gift of intercession. Right now, I equip you with the gift of prophecy to live out your purpose. Right now, I equip you with the anointing of compassion. That for every child that you pray for every child you intercede for, it will be like you're praying for your own. God has given you the gift of a prophetic mother's voice. To be a mother to the lost, to be a mother that have never felt a mother's love. We call it out now. We call out your purpose. An intercessory ministry for children. Thank you, Jesus, that you're doing something new. Two ministries I never heard of. That we forget that in today's modern age, there are children fighting with depression. The world has changed, church. And it's our responsibility to change with it while keeping the light of salvation of Jesus Christ available to all. Amen. I release it and I activate it in the name of Jesus. Amen. There's so many destinies here, so many purposes waiting to start. Lord, use us, Lord. Use us to change this nation. Use us to change this city. Lord, you're waiting for this moment to send your people out. I command that where there was the lack of purpose, I command a spirit of depression and I rebuke you in the name of Jesus. Where there was a lack of purpose and there is now anxiety, I rebuke the spirit of anxiety in Jesus' name. Aldo, I see that God's raising you to be a mighty man of God.
Amen. Yes, Lord.
That God's calling you to lead and to fight for the weak. The in your years of loneliness, God will transform those years, that will transform that pain. I see he already has your family prepared for you, Aldo. A loving wife with loving children. God has not forgotten about your dreams, so don't you forget about them. But God's going to use you to call the lost sheep who have experienced the same loneliness that you've experienced. So God, right now we transform this pain and we equip him with the tools that he needs. In Jesus' name. In Jesus' name. Just extend your hands to receive. Lord, right now in Jesus' name, I prophesy the stone to be rolled away. I call and demand resurrection power over the hearts in this place right now. I demand resurrection power over their dreams.
Yes, God.
Dead bones come alive now in Jesus' name. God uses those who are willing to be in the process.
Call them out in Jesus' name. Call them out.
If you believe the word will come to pass and you are in the process, it is the same as living it out. We never realize that when in the Bible, when Jesus, before his crucifixion, he would go and set people free. But church, has anyone realized that he hasn't gone to the cross yet? He hadn't paid the price yet? Jesus knows his destiny. He knows the purpose of his life and he fulfilled it. So when Jesus is telling you to pick up your cross and go, he's telling you to pick up your purpose, to not give up along the way, to not sell out no matter the cost. Because if you come and reach to the end, you'll be crowned with the crown of life.
Yes, yes.
James 1:12, blessed is the one who preserves under trial, because having stood the test, that person will receive the crown of life that the Lord has promised to those who love him. Jesus, I thank you for this moment, Lord. I thank you, Lord, that in my process, you didn't allow me to quit. That every step along the way, Jesus, you were right beside me suffering, Lord.
Yes.
You didn't give up on me, Lord. And I won't give up on them. So, Lord, we surrender this moment to you, Jesus.
Yes.
And I thank you for your mighty power. In Jesus' name, amen, church.
Amen.
Amen. You guys may be seated. Apologize, we went over time. I just want to announce that I lead a prayer group after church. It's from 12:30 to 12:45. Today there will not be prayer, but I'm making myself available. I will be participating in the Portuguese service, that's why. But I'm making myself available. I want to connect with you. I want to take a picture with you. I want to pray for you. Let's connect. Amen, church. I'm out in the open now, church. So take advantage.
Amen.
Thank you.